It's a joy as we preach through and go through 2 Timothy to get to a passage of Scripture that has been really critical in my own life as I realize that I'm standing here today because someone propped me up, someone poured into my life, and Brian's one of those people. And so he hails now from, we used to serve together in Invercargill, New Zealand, southernmost part of the British Empire. And now he in the beautiful town of Thames, which is on the North Island. And when he was coming to visit the United States and has been with us for 3 days, and I thought what a privilege once again to hear Brian preach. So Brian, why don't you come?
Thank you, Gary. It's a privilege to be with you. I was actually here back in 2011. I don't know if any of you remember, but I have preached in your church before. Something very welcoming about your church. I love the music here. I love the sense of community that you have and the sense of God's presence with you. So it's a privilege to be with you. I've been to North America probably 5 or 6 times in my life for various reasons. In 2004, together with my wife Robin and my youngest daughter, whose name is Zoe, we went from Invercargill to Vancouver, British Columbia. I was on study leave and we went to Regent College in Vancouver, and then we traveled to Toronto and on to Britain, where our 3 oldest children were either living, working, or on holiday. And we caught up as a family, my wife, Robin, and our 4 children, and we holidayed in Europe. While we were away from Invercargill, a family from Ukiah came to Invercargill and stayed in our house and pastored our church. That family was Gary and Sue and Kevin and Carly Zeke. After our family holiday in Europe, my family flew back from Salzburg, Austria, to London. And as we reached Stansted Airport, my wife, Robin, collapsed and died that night of a brain hemorrhage. 20th of August, 2004, my 55th birthday. The following April, I came back to North America, to Ukiah, to meet with the Zeke family and to talk with Gary and his family about the possibility of them coming to Invercargill to join us on the pastoral team at Invercargill Central Baptist. And that's what happened. Later that year, the Zekes moved to New Zealand, to Invercargill. And with Gary on the team, I can honestly say that the next 2 years were among the most fulfilling and fruitful in my 40-plus years of Christian ministry. We had a great team. God brought us together, and it was a powerfully effective combination. When I told Gary that I was coming to California this month for a family wedding, we agreed that I should bring the message today. And naively, I thought, I'll just go through my box of messages and bring out the top shelf one that I've had from the last month, and that'll do for Sunday. But no, Gary informed me that you were doing this series from 1 and 2 Timothy, and I had a text for today. From a passage of scripture that I'd never preached from before. Fortunately, I've had about 3 months' notice to think about the text and to prepare for today. So I've read it from time to time and made myself a few jottings, and here we are. And I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy. Better get the text right, eh? from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. I'm going to say it again. You then, my son, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. You know, at first reading, when I first read this verse, these verses, and when you perhaps first read them, what they seem to be saying is that there's a body of truth, a teaching, if you like, truths about God and about faith and about life and about Jesus Christ that Paul has entrusted to Timothy. And now he wants Timothy to pass these on to other reliable people who in their time will pass on this body of truth, these teachings to others. Perhaps when you were a child or with your children or grandchildren, you played a game called Pass the Parcel. If you don't know this game, it's where a present, a gift of some sort, is wrapped in multiple layers of paper. And while the music is playing, the parcel is passed around, and when the music stops, the person who's holding the parcel unwraps one layer, and then the music plays some more, and the parcel is passed again. So pass, pass, pass. The parcel is passed until finally, when the music stops, the last layer is uncovered, and whoever uncovers it is the winner of the gift that's inside. And there's a sense in which 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 is a bit like Pass the Parcel. The gift is passed, it's unwrapped, it's passed some more, it's unwrapped. Or maybe 1 Timothy, these verses are a bit like a relay race. I do my part for the gospel. I run the race with perseverance. And while I'm still running, without losing momentum, and definitely without dropping the baton, I pass the baton to another person who runs the race with perseverance. And the baton of faith and the baton of truth is passed from one runner to the next, and the teachings of the faith are passed on from one person to the next and one generation to the next. So those are two images that come to mind that help us understand what Paul is saying here. In verse 2, Paul says that what you've heard from me, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. I think this word entrust is again a crucial word in the understanding of this passage. The word means to invest in someone or something. It has the idea of delegation, of delegating. It means to delegate. And it means to place something really important into the care and protection of another person. You entrust something that is of worth to people who will look after it, right? It's got that idea that you don't treat the things you're passing on lightly, because they are in some ways sacred or special. In this context, in Timothy, it implies that the person who does the entrusting will pour out their time and their energy, and they'll take some risks, and they'll certainly make an investment of time and energy because they believe in the person in whom they are investing. So we've got this idea of a gift that's being passed on. We've got this idea of a baton that's passed on, of a race that's being run, and we've got this idea of something that's being entrusted. There's also an imagery which is pretty significant for today, for Father's Day. There's another imagery found in these verses, and that is the imagery of the parent-child or the father-son relationship. In verse 1, Paul says, in verse 1 of chapter 1, and again in verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul addresses Timothy as my son. Now, this is not in the physical sense of being a father and a son, but it's the imagery of a more mature believer relating to a younger or certainly less experienced follower of Jesus. So there's another imagery that's here in these verses that helps us get our hearts and our heads around what the Bible writer Paul is saying. And again, there's another picture that's hidden in these words, and that is the imagery of a mentor and an apprentice. I love that picture that I found. I don't know where I got. I just Googled and found it, and I just thought it was lovely. Here's this skilled trade person. You see the way he's watching? He's watching the younger fella. You know, he's got that, come on, you can do it, look about him. He's got that, we're doing this together, look about it. It's great. It's the skilled trade person taking his or her apprentice under their wing and teaching them everything that's important to them. I'm not going to hold back from telling you all that I know about and all the skills that I've got. I'm going to pass them on to you. Everything that's important about their craft. Now, all these images are what we sometimes call discipleship. They're pictures of what we sometimes call discipleship. And they're found in these verses. And they speak to us about how faith is passed on from one person to another and one generation to another. So they're about the practice and the process by which faith is passed on from one person to another and one generation to another. And they are also an invitation to each one of us to think about the people who have been significant in passing on faith to us. And I think today they invite us to pause for a moment, and I'm going to ask us to do it, this as part of our response to the message. They invite us to think about the people and give thanks to God for the people who have been significant in our lives. The people who have poured energy and faith into our lives, and to give thanks to God. And as I said, we're going to do that. But they're also an invitation to think not just backwards to those who've entrusted had faith in us, but also think forward and think about the people into whose lives we are investing, entrusting. They're inviting us to think about how we go about the task of imparting life and faith to others. Now, historically, in some parts of the Christian church, this discipleship process has focused on passing on right teaching and right doctrines. It's assumed that there is a package, if you like, of information, of beliefs, and of doctrine, orthodox truths that we just got to make sure that the next generation get it right. Okay? And historically, there's been a tendency to go down a pathway which says when you believe the right things and when you behave in the right way, then you belong. Okay? Believe, behave, and you belong. Now, it's important that we understand the truths of the gospel. You know, if you know the truth will set you free. Truth transforms. And I think Gary's done a preaching series called The Truths That Transform. I certainly have. When you know the truths are an important part of what we're passing on. But I want to suggest to you today that there's more happening in these verses than simply an exhortation to pass on a body of doctrine. There's more happening in these verses than an exhortation to get our truths sorted and to make sure that we pass our truths from one generation to the next. Yes, the gospel is truth. It's good news. It's life-changing news about a Savior who came into the world, about that all those awesome truths we've just sung about the life and death and resurrection and coming again of Jesus. But I want you to listen very carefully. For while the gospel is truth that transforms, what we're passing on is more than truth. What we're passing on must also be a lifestyle. It's teaching, but it's teaching plus transformation. And it's teaching plus character. And it's teaching plus lifestyle. And it's teaching plus example. The Apostle Paul, the same Paul who wrote these words to Timothy, said when he wrote to the Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But here's the crunch. What kind of example are we passing on? Not just what kind of truths are we passing on, but what kind of example are we passing on to others? You see, it's not good enough to simply pass on right doctrine or a package of information. What we pass on will always be wrapped up in who we are. Okay? People don't just read the words, they read the lives. They read the lives of who we are. What we pass on will always be wrapped up in who we are. So as I've been reflecting upon these verses in recent weeks, there's another word in verse 1 that has stood out to me that I want to put a highlighter through today for you. And it's the word grace. You, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Paul ever writes about passing on truth, he exhorts young Timothy, he reminds young Timothy that he is a recipient of and a carrier of the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this word. It's a Greek word, charis, charis. It's related to the word chara, which means joy. It's related to the word charismata, which means free gifts, gifts of grace. It's related to English words like graceful and gracious. It means to receive something you didn't deserve or earn. And grace is at the heart of the nature and character of God as revealed to us in Jesus. When the Apostle John began his gospel, he reminded us that Jesus came among us full of grace and truth. Interesting, isn't it? Not full of truth, not full of grace, but full of grace and truth. Amen. He tells us, the Apostle John, this is in John chapter 1, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus. I wonder how why the people who founded this church called it Grace Church, Kelseyville. I'm sure your pastor has reminded you of your name on other occasions, but I want to challenge you today. As we're thinking about what it means, what it is that we're passing on, as we're thinking of this whole apprenticeship model of discipleship, as we think about what it means to run the race with perseverance and then pass the baton, what is it you're passing on? I want to challenge you to live up to your name. Because you see, in my country there are churches called Grace this church and Grace Church that church, but not all those churches are grace-filled grace churches. In fact, bizarrely, some of them tend to be carriers of condemnation rather than carriers of grace. But you're not like that. As carriers of grace, you're people who believe in the best, not the worst, in one another. Right? That's what grace does. It means you believe the best and not the worst about your brothers and sisters. And people of grace encourage and build up. They don't tear down other people. They build them up. Amen. And people of grace pick up the brother and sister or sister who's fallen rather than condemning them to a life of guilt and shame. People of grace don't let others live with shame and guilt. And people of grace trust each other and they create a space for each other to grow in faith and in the knowledge and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people of faith welcome the guest and the newcomer and the people of different ethnicities or cultures or social backgrounds. And you are people who are known not just by the name Grace Church Kelseyville, but by your grace-filled character and lives. And this is who you are because you are followers of Jesus who is full of grace and truth. Right? Hallelujah. You're following Jesus who is full of grace and truth. And you're carriers of that grace. And you're carriers of that truth, and you're carriers of grace wrapped up in truth, and you're carriers of truth wrapped up in grace. Because they can't exist in isolation, they must exist together. I said that these verses are an invitation to think about and give thanks for the people who have imparted spiritual life and faith to you. And they are an invitation to think of the people to whom you are imparting spiritual life and faith, grace and truth. So by way of application and reflection, I want us to spend just a few moments as I close doing two things. Number one, I want you to think about, and in your heart and in your mind, I want you to think about the people who have imparted life and faith, grace and truth into your lives. By their teachings, by their encouragement, by their lifestyle. Who are the people of grace and truth? That today you can say, God, I thank you for, and complete the sentence. God, I thank you for. Just think of them now. And in your imagination, as you think of them, thank God for them. Those who were the craftsmen who apprenticed you. The people who poured energy and time into your lives. Who took you under your wing and encouraged you when you were downhearted or discouraged. Who took the time to pray with you, nurture you in the things of God and the things of faith. God, we thank you for those people who you've brought us, brought to our mind right now. And secondly, and very importantly, I want you to ask and ponder and reflect, who are the people into whose lives you are feeding? Who are the people you are feeding into? Those who you're seeking to influence in matters of life and faith. And how might you strengthen this relationship with those people that you're seeking to take under your wing? Because the exhortation of these verses that are our focus today, the exhortation is that we should entrust what has been entrusted to us, we will entrust to others. And so the chain of faith and truth, of grace and truth, of life in God and in His Son Jesus is passed on to others. And as you think about that, make it your determination today to play your part in passing on such faith. Put in the energy, because it won't be wasted. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you for the privilege that is ours of both being receivers of your grace and truth and givers of the grace and truth that's been imparted to us, to others. And so the chain is unbroken, the race continues, the faith and the lifestyle that is in Jesus and being his followers goes on from one to another, from one generation to the next, through your goodness to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Back memories, because when I was a teenager back in the early 70s and a revival was happening in the lives of young people, started down in the beaches of Los Angeles and swept all the way up, and here I was a kid and sitting around a campfire in some ranch outside of Philo, and we were singing this song called Pass It On. If you don't know the song, then you probably were never young. And even today, some of the old songs, you go, well, that's kind of sappy. You know, who would sing that? But I remember this, with tears in my eyes, singing the song, realizing that it was grace and truth that it was being passed on to me. So we're going to sing this song. If you haven't sung it for a while, then sing it like you were 15 years old around a campfire, and if not, is this the first time, you'll see why it's an important song. Let's stand together.
And
your way back. Amen. What a joy it is to be in the Lord. And what a joy it is to, even in the midst of challenges in our life, that we have been saved by the grace of God. And we have a message that everyone needs. And so thank you, Brian, for reminding us that it's not only a message that we pass on, it is the very life of Christ that we live out each day in this skin. And we're only here, and we can only stand by His grace. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and we want to pass that on to you today, you do that. It's really as simple as first admitting your need for Him, admitting that you're broken and that there's sin in your life, and that you're, without God you're lost. And then you put your belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And then you confess Him as your Savior and as your Lord. He fills you with His Spirit and He gives you the strength and power. He desires that you would be like Him. And He'll transform your life. But it starts with that step of faith through God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for passing it on to us. Thank You for those faithful servants who have lived out their faith and have graciously shared us the truth. Help us to be that kind of person. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. On the way out, guys, we have a can of Dad's root beer and a bookmark for you. So there should be somebody out there handing those out.